Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps, Horrorland! I am Dune, and this is part one of Revenge of the Living Dummy by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. This is the first one in a new season, series, run? I don't know. I used the last of a Amazon gift card that I had for Christmas to purchase the full run of Goosebumps Horrorland books, as I'm so broke right now and realized, wait, the only thing I do that really brings anything to the world is deliver some old Dune Reads Goosebumps, so I figured I might as well make you guys happy, even if I'm not. What else has changed with me since the last episode? Not much, I guess. Still the same stuff, still horrifyingly broke, still not sure what I'm going to do regarding taxes as I'm about to owe on them. Still barely working, just still, ugh. But even though I'm changing the book series, still the same podcast. Let's crack open a Steel Reserve. The cover of this one has our old pal Slappy inside of a monster's mouth, and it looks like he's by the turnstile to enter Horrorland. And you know, there's Ferris wheel and roller coaster behind him. I think all of these take place in the Horrorland theme park, but I guess we'll find out on this journey. It's kind of fun to start a new series because I can go chronologically and not miss any and have the actual books here every time. So let's dive into it. Chapter number one. You may wonder why my best friend, Molly Malloy, that one's gonna trip me up, and I were in the old graveyard late at night. I assume smoking cloves and listening to the Cure's Disintegration. I shivered as I thought about what we were doing. Wind howled through the trees, and pale streaks of lightning cracked the sky. Hurry, Molly! I whispered, hugging myself as the moon disappeared behind the clouds like some sort of low-rent eclipse. It's going to storm. I am hurrying, Brittany, Molly said. But the ground, it's really hard.
You know how hard it is to move on hard ground, you know? Because the comment was based on the fact that it is hard to move on, you know, like beach sand or sand dunes or mud, but when it's hard like concrete, you can run fast like Saddam Hussein Bolt.
We were digging a grave. We took turns. One of us shoveled while the other stood lookout. I felt cold raindrops on my forehead. I kept my eyes on the low picket fence near the street. Nothing moved. The only sounds were the scrape of the shovel in the earth and a drumroll of thunder, deep but far away. Across from me, an old gravestone made a creaking sound as it tilted in the wind. I sucked in my breath. I suddenly pictured the old stone toppling over and someone crawling out from the grave beneath it, like the cover of Evil Dead 2. Okay, I have a wild imagination. Everyone knows that about me. They're always like, man, your imagination's so good, you're gonna amount to so much, and you're not gonna live with your parents in your 30s and be drunk and stupid and read Goosebumps. My mom says I'll either be a writer or a crazy person. Huh. I guess I checked one of those boxes. She thinks that's really funny. Sometimes, having a strong imagination is a good thing, and sometimes it just makes things more scary. Like tonight. Molly stopped shoveling to push the hair out of her eyes. Raindrops pattered on the blanket of dead leaves on the ground.
"Brittany, does this look deep enough?" she asked in a hoarse whisper. "My general policy on grave digging is if you think it's possibly not deep enough, you keep digging and keep digging, because the cops have those heat sensor things in their helicopters and they'll find a body so quick, except for you can't put a dog on top of him anymore like you used to back in the day, because they'll keep digging. They're onto that trick. We need a new one." I glanced at the glass coffin on the ground. That's how I refer to my bottles of alcohol, as my little glass coffins. "Keep digging. We have to totally cover it," I said. I turned back to the street. It was late, and the neighborhood stood dark and still. But what if someone drove by and saw us? How could we ever explain the grave we were digging? How could we explain why we were there? Molly groaned and dug the shovel blade into the earth. The dead leaves crackled. I held my breath and listened. Footsteps. Franklin. Someone creeping quickly through the leaves towards us. "Molly," I whispered. Then I saw them, huddled low, moving in a line. Rakins. A pack of them. Little, glowing-eyed trash pandas. The black fur on their faces made their little creatures look like they were wearing masks. They froze when they saw us, and then stood up taller. Do raccoons ever attack? Apparently you didn't watch Fox in the 90s, and you would have seen 1 through 15 of their series, When Raccoons Attack. These raccoons looked really hungry. I imagined them stampeding Molly and me, swarming over us, clawing and biting. A bright flash of lightning brought them into clear focus. They were staring at the little glass coffin. Did they think there was food inside? A clap of thunder, closer now, startled them. The leader turned and scuttled away over the leaves. The others followed. Sheep coons. You know, like sheeple, forget it. I shivered and wiped rain off my forehead. Molly handed me the shovel. "Your turn," she said. "It's almost finished." The wooden handle scratched my hand. I kicked earth off the blade and stepped up to the shallow hole. "No one will ever find it here," I said. "Once we bury the evil thing, we'll be safe from it." Oh, it just hit me. Are these the people from the last living dummy thing? They're the ones in control of Slappy now? He's in the glass container? I guess we'll find out together on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Horrorland! Molly didn't answer. I had the sudden feeling that something was wrong. I turned and saw Molly staring with her mouth open, staring at the tall gravestone next to us. She pointed, "Brit!" And then I heard the old stone creak and saw the pale hand slowly reach out from the grave. No time to move, no time to scream. I stood frozen and watched the hand wrap its cold, bony fingers around my ankle, like Evil Dead 3, Army of Darkness. And then I started to scream. Chapter number 2. 2 weeks earlier, I had other things on my mind. I wasn't thinking about the old graveyard down the street. I had other problems. Well, one big problem.
Scarlet, can you stop yelling?
And his name was Ethan. Ethan is my cousin, and it isn't nice to hate your cousin. So let's just say he isn't one of my favorite people on this planet. I like to make lists. Someday I'll write for Cracked. And if I made a list of my top 5,000 favorite people in the world, my cousin Ethan would not be on it. Get what I'm saying? It was almost dinner time on a Friday night, and I was perched on the edge of the bed in my new bedroom. Why did I have a new bedroom? I bet you're gonna tell us. Because Mom and Dad kicked me out of my awesome room in the attic to make room for guess who? Fucking Ethan. So now, I had to sleep in Mom's sewing room. And the sewing machine was still against the wall. So how much room did I have? Ooh, I do not like these questions that she keeps asking to herself. Ooh, I'm rusty. Axing to herself. So how much room do I have? Fucking not much. I was talking on my mobile to Molly. Ooh, they have new technology but old terminology. Molly is maybe the only person who understands what a pain Ethan is, because she's met him. And she had two bruised knees to prove it. Do you get the joke I'm not going to make? About her bruised knees from meeting Ethan? Do you get... Okay, let's go. Whoever told Ethan that kicking people is funny? Molly and I are like sisters. If you mention Molly Malloy, you have to mention me. Brittany Crosby, too. We are both 12 and we live on the same street. And we've always been in the same class since third grade. We both like to draw and paint. We both like to make lists of everything. We are always finishing each other's sentences. Like we have one brain. Or you're just two dinguses with half brains. Molly is a little taller than me and more into sports. We both have coppery hair, although hers is lighter and curlier. And we both have brown eyes. And our eyeballs are green. Kidding, because that was a butthole joke. I'm the funny one. Apparently Dune isn't. It's hard to make Molly laugh. I think she's more serious than me because her parents split up and she lives with her dad. He travels a lot, and he's kind of a flake. So, she feels like she has to be the grown-up in the house. Obviously, I've thought about it a lot. I once made a list of my good qualities and my bad qualities. And one of my good qualities is that I try to understand my friends, rather than lacking empathy like a sociopath. I can't come over now, I told Molly. That brat Ethan will be here any minute. Dad went to the bus station to pick him up. Molly groaned into the phone. Presumably at home, with her dad she was alone. She let out a moan. Maybe you'll get lucky. Maybe he missed the bus. Why is he coming to stay with you anyway? His parents had to go away or some shit, I said. He's even coming to our school. I think he's in third grade. He's such a sicko. Molly said, maybe you should move over here till he leaves. I rolled my eyes, like my mom would go for that. She knows you hate him, Molly said. I'd feel bad about myself if I hated a 9-year-old. Even if I was, whatever grade these people are in, I assume, 6th? I don't know, 5th? How old are Goosebumps kids normally? I'm supposed to feel sorry for Ethan, because he's had such a tough life. Once again, maybe you don't have empathy. I said, you know, his parents were both ill for a long time and didn't pay any attention to him. Ooh, I have crippling neglect. Molly shook her head. Yeah, I remember. What an idiot. I groaned. So Mom and Dad say I have to take good care of him. Every 10 minutes they remind me I have to be nice to him. Hello, Molly said. Do they know he kicks people when the grown-ups aren't looking? Do you know... Steel Reserve. Do they know how he kept trying to trip you and make you fall down the stairs? Did you tell them he tricked you into eating a sandwich that had dead bugs in it? This kid's a riot. He's totally bratty, but they don't believe me, I said. Last time Ethan stayed here, he started messing with my computer, and he deleted my whole term paper. He said it was an accident. Then he burst out laughing. Molly groaned again. What a creep! Molly, what am I going to do? I wailed. He's coming to live with us for weeks. Molly was silent for a moment. Then she said softly with her words. Face it, Brittany. Your life is over like Dune's. I let out a cry as I heard a deafening crash from downstairs. I nearly dropped the phone. Was Ethan here already? Chapter number 3. I hurried into the kitchen and saw Mom bent over, picking pieces of china off the floor. Oh no, must be a huge mess if the whole country of China shattered. Good stuff.
I can't believe I dropped that plate, she said, shaking her head. Mom has short, dark brown hair with a streak of white in the front like Rogue. She is small and skinny and totally high energy. Trump would love her, and she's kind of pretty, except her black framed glasses make her look like a philosophy professor or some shit like that. I don't know, Janine Garofalo maybe. Anyway, she's always in a hurry, and she always drops things. And then she says, I can't believe I dropped that. Maybe you're nervous about Ethan, I said, bending to pick up a jagged piece of china. Ooh, there's Shenzhen. I know I am. Hey, she pinched my cheek. I don't think she meant to hurt me, but she pinched too hard. I'm the only person in the world she pinches. I don't really get it.
Yeah, you're her daughter. She loves you. Get out of here.
Good attitude, remember? She said. PMA. Good attitude all the time. You promised. I had my fingers crossed, you know, throwing up that West Side and shit, I said. How could I have a good attitude?
Attitude. You gotta have a good attitude. Ethan's coming over.
Fuck. What am I doing? The last time Ethan visited, we got into an actual fist fight. Can you imagine? Quiet little Brittany Crosby giving her cousin a bloody nose and making him cry in front of all her guests. What a bitch. He's a child and she punched him in the nose and presumably broke it? That's not like me at all. But he just makes me crazy. Hey. Hey, Brittany. You're the problem. Give Ethan a chance, Mom said, brushing off the front of her jeans. She wears tight designer jeans, and she looks pretty good in them. Bam, that mom ass. She's so small. We can almost share clothes. Weird. He's had a lot of problems, Mom said, and now his parents have left him for who knows how long. He's not bad. He just acts out because he's lonely. You know how lonely people are, always making podcasts by themselves. Yeah, right. I heard a car door slam, then Dad's voice in the garage. They're here, Mom said. Remember, Brittany, you've got to be the grown-up in this situation. Get off to a good start with Ethan, and everything will be fine. I'm going to try. Really, I said, I meant it. The door from the garage swung open. Dad stepped into the kitchen, carrying Ethan's two suitcases. Our new family member has arrived, he said. Ethan came bouncing in behind him, a big grin on his face. Ethan looks like a sweet little boy, except for when his nose is bleeding from being punched in the face by an older child. He is short and pale and very blonde. He has bright blue eyes and a cute pointed little chin like an anime character. He wore a gray hoodie over baggy jeans. And what was that thing slept over his shoulder? I squinted at it. A grinning ventriloquist dummy. Slappy. Hi, Aunt Rose, Ethan said. Mom shook a finger at the dummy. Ethan? What is it that? It seems like it's something super evil, like there's already been 3 books about it. He pulled the dummy off his shoulder and held it up. It had an ugly face with painted blue eyes and a chipped lower lip. Also, an awful grin. This is Mr. Bad Boy, Ethan said, figuring out Dune's new MSN screen name. Mr. Bad Boy is my best friend. Totally pitiful, I thought. But I put a smile on my face and said, Hey, Ethan! Ethan came running over to me, holding the dummy in front of him. Mr. Bad Boy, he said, say hi to my cousin Brittany. I saw it coming, but I couldn't move in time. The dummy's wooden hands spun up fast, then came down hard and clunk! Slammed me on the forehead.
Chapter number 4. Whoa!
A sharp pain shot through my head. I pressed my hands against my throbbing temples, trying to push the pain away. Be careful with that thing, Dad scolded Ethan. It wasn't my fault, Ethan cried, backing away from me.
Mr. Bad Boy did it. Ooh, I still love that name. Here we go again, I thought. Ethan moved the dummy's mouth up and down. I'm a bad boy, the dummy said in a shrill baby voice. Mom turned and hurried to the fridge. We'd better put some ice on it, Britt, she said. You're gonna have quite a bump. I stared at Ethan. Was it an accident? Sometimes Mr. Bad Boy doesn't know his own strength, Ethan said. Ethan, how about saying you're sorry? Mr. Bad Boy is very sorry, Ethan said. Now that I'm going to start calling myself Mr. Bad Boy, I'm going to start talking to the third person as well. Anyway, Mr. Bad Boy has to continue reading chapter 4 of Revenge of the Living Dummy. I pushed past him and headed to the door. Forget the ice, I said, rubbing my forehead. I'm going to Molly's. Mom hurried after me. She stopped me in the front hall. Take Ethan with you, she said in a whisper. Mom, please. No, I said. Mom put both hands on my shoulders and narrowed her eyes at me through her glasses. Brittany, he just got here. Don't be rude. Remember what I said about getting off to a good start. He already gave me a bruise, I cried. But I could see she meant business. I sighed. Okay, okay. I saw Ethan near the kitchen door and called to him. Want to come over to Molly's? I asked. Excellent! Ethan replied. I'll bring Mr. Bad Boy. Thrills, I thought. We stepped out into a cool, windy evening. The sun had started to dip behind the trees, sending long shadows across the grass. Molly lives 3 houses down on the other side of the street, a short walk, but Ethan kept dancing around me, sticking his foot out, trying to trip me. Girl, you be tripping. Ooh, Mr. Bad Boy. Give me a break, I pleaded. He just giggled in reply. He has a phony hyena giggle that could drive anyone crazy. What the fuck? That was my attempt at a hyena giggle? I can't do it. Yeah, I thought it was like a breathing in thing, but those were the worst attempts ever. I'm so sorry. I rang the bell, and a few seconds later, Molly came to the door. She was wearing faded jeans and a yellow t-shirt with the words, Mumba Rules, in red across the front. Her dad always brings her t-shirts from the place, weird places he visits. Don't ask me where on earth Mumba is, but Dune's gotta know. Okay, Google. Where is Mumba? Mumba lies at the mouth of the Ulhas River in the western coast of India. Now we all know. She let out a groan when she saw Ethan. Shake hands with Mr. Bad Boy, Ethan told her. He stuck out the dummy's wooden hand. Mr. Bad Boy, this is Molly, Brittany's geeky friend. Nice? Question mark. Molly frowned at the dummy and said, he's the gas steel reserve. He's almost as ugly as you are, Ethan. Good one. I laughed and slapped her a high five. I'm a bad boy, the dummy said. Perfect, Molly muttered. She led us down the hall to her room. Dad just got back this morning from one of his crazy trips, she said. Mumba. In reality, I'm sure it was ayahuasca. It's an island. Is that what Wikipedia just told me? Not looking it up again. He's totally pumped. I guess he found some strange dolls there. Professor Malloy is kind of famous. He works for museums. I don't know any famous person that works for museums aside from Indiana Jones, and I still don't think he's real. He says he's a folklore expert. He travels all over the world and brings back ugly, evil-looking dolls and ancient toys and voodoo stuff and skulls and shit like that. He keeps some of it on display in his attic, you know, where everyone hangs out. He calls it his Museum of the Weird.
He always wants to show off, but Molly and I don't like to go up there. It totally creeps us out. Ethan put his mouth to my ear and burped really loudly. I jerked away from him. Ethan, that's not funny. He giggled. It's a riot. We turned the corner to Molly's room and bumped into Mr. Malloy. He's big and tall, with a big belly that hangs over his trousers. He always wears baggy khakis that are all wrinkled and stained and sloppy white shirts. Man, I can't believe this guy is divorced. His dark brown hair is long and wild. He has a great smile, a big booming laugh that shakes his belly, and deep blue eyes that just stare. They don't blink when you talk to him. He likes to sing in a funny, deep voice. Chapter. Nah. And he's always trying to scare Molly and me with his weird stories. My dad calls him Wild Man Malloy. I need a nickname. I guess I'm just still gonna have to stay with Mr. Bad Boy. He said hi to me, and then turned his gaze on Ethan. I remember you, he said, Brittany's cousin. And what do we have here? He lifted Mr. Bad Boy off Ethan's shoulder and held the dummy up to study it. Interesting. Interesting. Mr. Malloy examined the wooden head carefully. He ran his finger over the chipped bottom lip, then reached a hand beneath Mr. Bad Boy's shirt and made the mouth snap up and down. Interesting dummy, he said.
That would be a good autobiography name.
Ethan, where did this guy come from? Ethan shrugged. My dad found him. I don't know. I named him Mr. Bad Boy because he's a really bad dude. Mr. Malloy chuckled. Interesting. He rubbed his hand over the dummy's painted brown hair. Why does it look so familiar? I could swear I've seen this dummy somewhere before. He handed Mr. Bad Boy back to Ethan. I have some books on ventriloquism. Maybe you'd like to borrow one? I don't have to talk for him, Ethan said. Mr. Bad Boy talks for himself.
The new name of this podcast is going to go from Dune Reads Goosebumps to Mr. Bad Boy Talks.
Molly and I looked at each other. We both rolled our eyes. Yeah, sure, I muttered. Come upstairs, Mr. Malloy said. I've got something very interesting to show you guys. Something I just brought back from Mumba. Maybe later, Dad, Molly said. We don't really want... Mr. Malloy tugged Molly towards the stairs. Come on up to the attic. You won't be sorry, he said with a wide, devilish grin. You want to stare into the face of pure evil, don't you? All right, just scheduled to give blood tomorrow. If you're like me and you're broke and you want to be a good person, but you don't really want to donate a bunch of your time, go give some blood. Do it. It's quick and easy. Plus, afterwards, if you drink right away, you can cup a buzz easier. It's a win-win for everyone.
Chapter number 5.
Ethan's eyes flashed with excitement. Cool, he said. We followed Mr. Malloy up to his attic museum. The stairs were narrow and steep and creaked and groaned under our footsteps. Whenever I come up here, I feel as if I'm stepping into a haunted house.
Speaking of stepping into places, I thought they would be stepping into an amusement park. That was my impression of this whole series, that it all takes place in an amusement park, especially by the cover. Maybe they'll get there, but we'll find out.
For one thing, it's very dark and shadowy. Mr. Malloy says that bright light will damage some of his displays. He keeps everything in glass showcases. It's also creepy and weird. As you walk past the glass cases, dozens of eyes stare at you. Cool, check this out, Ethan cried. He pointed to a case. I squinted in the dim light. 6 snakeheads, their jaws wide open, disgusting. Mr. Malloy stepped up beside Ethan. Those snakeheads were used for gambling, he said, just like dice. You hold them between your hands and shake them, then toss them onto the floor. Want to try it? No thanks, Molly said quickly, being a total bummer. She pulled her dad away. Ethan looked disappointed. He held Mr. Bad Boy up and showed him the snakeheads. A long, skinny animal skull with two rows of pointed teeth grinned at me from the next case. I hurried past it, and the next case, too. It contained two little blue dolls with long blonde hair, their faces all twisted as if they were crying. Wee, I cry all the time, I'm doomed. Oh, wait, damn it. In the next case, a pile of black fur. I looked closer. No, a stuffed animal with a tiny mouse caught between its curled fangs. Molly says that the attic gives her bad dreams. I don't know how she can fall asleep downstairs knowing that all these horrible creatures are right above her head. Over here, guys, Mr. Malloy called. Here's the new one you've got to check out. The three of us stepped around the case and gazed down through the glass. Oh, sick, I moaned. I felt my stomach lurch. Totally sick, Molly murmured. Is that a real shrunken head? Ethan asked. Mr. Malloy nodded. I've never seen anything like this in all my travels, he said. Its body is carved of wood, and it has an actual human head attached to the shoulders. I took a deep breath and gazed down at it. It was about 12 inches tall. I'm a 12-inch pianist. You know what I'm talking about, that? The face was shriveled like an old prune and was a vomit green color. There were tiny slits where the eyes had once been. Then wisps of black hair stood straight up from its scalp. Awesome, Ethan said. Can I hold it? I don't think so, Mr. Malloy replied. When I tell you the story of this doll, I don't think you'll want to come anywhere near it. He chuckled as if he had just told a good joke. Dad, this is really gross, Molly said, shaking her head. She turned her back to the case. You're not going to keep it here, are you? Let me tell you a story, Mr. Malloy said, all totally fucking... God damn it. Are you afraid of the dark style was what I was going to say, but say.
All right, still reserve. Brain's not working.
The doll is called a mind stealer. The legend goes that if you touch it, you are doomed. Its eyes will open and glow. You will hear a loud, painful buzz, and it will steal your mind right out of your head. My mouth suddenly felt dry. Need still reserve. I wanted to stop staring at the ugly thing, but I couldn't take my eyes off it. They say the doll has already claimed 20 minds, Mr. Malloy said. 20 poor victims who are left brainless, empty blanks. I felt a chill run down the back of my neck. Ah, no, a bird just shit on her. Oh, wait, they're inside. Never mind, it's just a chill. Ethan giggled, but I could tell he was frightened too. Molly kept her back to the display case. She tossed her coppery hair back over her shoulder. Can we go now? She asked. I couldn't help myself. I leaned down to get a closer look at the doll. I stared at the tiny, shriveled head. It was a little smaller than a softball, but it had once been alive. It had once been a live human being. Was it a man or a woman? I lowered my face to the glass and let out a cry as the doll whispered, How about a kiss, babe?
Uh-oh. That doll's Beetlejuice.
Chapter number six. Startled, I stumbled back and nearly mocked Molly over. Mr. Malloy laughed.
Good one, Ethan, he said.
Ethan grinned at me. I'm a pretty good ventriloquist, he said.
I gotcha, Brittany.
He did a fast tap dance and ended it by stomping hard on my foot.
This kid, he's got style. He's like a vaudevillian asshole.
Ethan, you're so not funny, I cried. I could feel my face turning hot. I knew I was blushing. How embarrassing to fall for that trick. Molly turned to her dad. "Do you really believe that mind-stealing stuff?" she asked. He scratched his head. "I take all these legends seriously," he said. "The legends tell a lot about people and their beliefs." "Yes or no?" Molly asked. "Do you think it can steal minds or not?" Her dad was silent for a moment. Then he said, "Yes, I guess I do believe it." Ooh, like a true scientist. Molly's mouth dropped open. "Dad, if you believe this awful doll is so dangerous, how can you keep it in the house?" "It's under triple thick glass," Mr. Malloy replied. "That should make it safe." "But Dad, I'm still studying it," he told her. "I've got to call in to some experts. There are people who know a lot more about the doll than I do. I'm waiting to hear back from them. In the meantime, I believe the triple thick glass will make sure that before he could finish that brat," Ethan cried, "Brittany, you're blocking my view." And he bumped me hard from behind into the doll case. As my forehead hit the glass, I saw the doll bounce. Then I heard a loud buzz. I gasped. Oh no! My mind! This must be what the Pixie song is about, and not just speed like it was previously about. Chapter number 7. Whoa, wait! I heard the buzz again. My brain whirred. It took me so long to realize the doll wasn't buzzing. The sound came from my mobile phone. The mobile phone terminology makes me laugh. When was this written? Beep. I'm sure the sound is so fucking annoying. No. First published in 2008? Oh, that's way late to be using the term mobile phone. I let out a sigh of relief. It was only my wild imagination going berserk again. I pulled the phone from my pocket and flipped it open. A text message, ooh, fancy, from my mom. "Dinner almost ready. Come home soon." I told Molly and Mr. Malloy we had to leave. Ethan started whining that he didn't want to go. He wanted to stay and check out the other weird dolls and objects, but I was happy to get the fuck out of there. The Mind Stealer doll was too creepy to think about, and Mr. Malloy admitted he didn't even know if it was safe to keep in the house. I knew I'd have nightmares about it. When we got home, Mom was going crazy in the kitchen with two pots steaming on the stove and a chicken roasting in the oven. She blew a strand of hair off her forehead and smiled at Ethan. "I'm making my famous roast chicken in honor of your arrival tonight," she said. "Not quite ready." She turned to me. "Why don't you go up to Ethan's room and bring down the rest of your junk?" Yeah, get your shit out of there, idiot. Stop punching kids in the face. Ethan gave me a hard tug that almost knocked me over. "Come upstairs, fat face." "I want to show you my comedy act with Mr. Bad Boy." "Fat face?" I cried. "Don't call me fat face, butt breath." Ooh, flirting. He giggled. "Stop it," Mom said. She lifted a pot lid and ducked back as steam poured up. "Name calling isn't funny." What a dingus. Name calling's hilarious. "Yeah, right. Don't call names, you moron," Ethan said to me with the same sense of humor as I have. He tried to jam his elbow into my ribs, but I dodged away. "Please go upstairs," Mom said. "Let Ethan show you his comedy act." "Mom, give me a break," I moaned. "That dummy is totally lame." Mom dropped the lid on the pot and pulled me to the kitchen door. "Go up there with him, Britt. He wants to share something with you. That's a good thing." "But, Mom..." "And don't make fun of the dummy," she whispered. "Poor Ethan obviously needs a friend to talk to, so we made one up. Go up to his room and be nice to him." Oh, God, she just described my relationship with the dog. Franklin, why am I so sad all the time? I let out an exasperated sigh. But then I forced a smile to my face. "Okay, Ethan," I said, "let's do it." He let out a cheer and went running up the attic stairs. The dummy's wooden head clonked on each stair as Ethan dragged it up by the arm. I glanced around the attic, my old room. I missed it already. The room was long and narrow, with bright yellow walls.
Just a side note from the sentence before, as I was thinking about it while reading the other one, I feel like R.L. Stine kicked off this whole book series like, hey, this isn't like Goosebumps or Goosebumps Series 2000, alright? This is a totally different vibe. Instead of going into the basement, they're all gonna go into the attic, okay? Which is like basements for millennials. Anyway.
Some of my posters were still hanging up. My desk stood in front of the window between two twin beds where Molly and I spent many sleepovers. No room for sleepovers now, I thought, in my tiny sewing room. And then I scolded myself. Don't be bitter, Brit. Britter, bit, Brit, bitter, Brit. You'll get your room back when he leaves. Ethan pulled out the desk chair and sat down on it. He set Mr. Bad Boy on his lap. I dropped to the floor, settled onto the white shag carpet, and leaned my back against the wall. Don't laugh too hard, Ethan said. You'll hurt yourself.
No problem, I said.
If you need me to explain any of the jokes, just let me know, he said. I rolled my eyes. Just do your act, okay? Mr. Bad Boy grinned at me. His eyes opened wide. He had such an ugly smile. Totally evil. Brittany, is that your face? Or did you forget to take out the rubbish?
The dummy said, clearly from the UK.
His voice was a shrill rasp. Be nice, Ethan scolded the dummy. That's my cousin. The dummy leaned towards me. Brittany, something just reminded me of the banana I had for breakfast. Oh yeah, your nose. The dummy tossed back its head and let out a long donkey laugh at its anti-Semitic joke. I'm a bad boy. Is this your act? I asked Ethan. He shook his head. Sometimes Mr. Bad Boy doesn't cooperate.
Yeah, right, I muttered.
Be good, Ethan scolded the dummy. I like your long hair, Mr. Bad Boy said to me. Too bad it's all growing out your back. I burst out laughing. That joke was terrible, but Ethan was a really good ventriloquist. I couldn't see his lips move at all. Mr. Bad Boy, please, Ethan pleaded. Be nice to Brittany. The dummy's eyes stared into mine. I know we've just met, he said in a harsh, raspy voice. But I'm a very romantic dude, and I have three little words I'm dying to say to you.
Three little words? I asked.
Mr. Bad Boy nodded. Yeah. Take a bath, bitch! I couldn't help myself. I laughed again. I have to admit, I love rude jokes. I guess maybe it's because I'm always so nice when I'm punching children in the face. Is that your face? Mr. Bad Boy asked. Or are you standing on your head? I groaned. Ugh. Don't blame me for these jokes, Ethan replied. Blame Mr. Bad Boy. He turned to the dummy. You're not very nice, he told it. Then stop putting words in my mouth, Mr. Bad Boy said. That made me laugh, too. I'm a bad boy. I don't know why that makes me laugh every time, but I genuinely am starting to like Mr. Bad Boy. Oh, wait, that's me. My new, what did I say? AIM screen name? MSN. I never had MSN. Mr. Bad Boy exclaimed, you're an awesome ventriloquist, I told Ethan. How did you learn to do that? Ethan set Mr. Bad Boy down on the bed and walked over to me. He shrugged. I don't know. Just practice, I guess. I slapped Ethan a high five. Well, good work, dude. I really think you're talented. And then I gasped because across the room, Mr. Bad Boy turned his head to me and opened his mouth in an ugly laugh. So while reading these, I like to go check the Dune Reads Goosebumps at gmail.com and the Facebook and whatnot, so I can get some sort of words of encouragement to keep going, because I'm always like, I don't want to do it, and then I'm like, oh wait, people dig this. So I didn't get any messages on the Dune Reads Goosebumps at Gmail, but I got a notification that there's a new review on the archive.org Dune Reads Goosebumps page. So we're checking it out. It's from LamD1283, January 27th, 2018. It says, I read quite a few of the original Goosebumps while growing up. I remember going to the bookstore and cracking open the newest one and inhaling that new book smell. I do that with shoes, but books also work, but I always buy used books because I'm broke. I vaguely recall a single plot of any of those books, or any of the dozens I read back in the day, until there was Dune. I have finally finished the original 62 original series Goosebumps as interpreted by Dune. I can say that the books are not works of high art, nor is Dune's reading. I agree. I can, however, say that the process was enjoyable, and I certainly wouldn't have stuck with it if it weren't for the extra characters, Dune and his life, thrown in. Ah, thank you. I'm glad you enjoy my sad, sad life now. Listen to these if you want the late 90s nostalgia without having to pretend that Goosebumps are actually good. Agreed. Don't listen to these if you think they are or are offended. Don't listen to these if you think they are good. All right. Or are offended by a reader. I like how me reading things deserves quotes. I am reading them. Who likes to pretend that he doesn't actually, deep down, love the books. Lies! Lies! I don't. Oh, well. Definitely not safe for work. Well, depends on your work. Oh, I get it. A little jab at me for being unemployable. God damn, someone hire me. I need money. Anyway, thank you, LamD1283. I thoroughly appreciate that. Now I'm going to keep going and finish this one tonight because of you exclusively. It sounds like I'm joking, but genuinely it's because that you did that. I would have just got distracted and watched something on Netflix. Chapter number 8. How did you do that? I cried. Ethan's smile faded. I didn't do it, he said, like Bart Simpson's catchphrase. He took his hands out of his pocket and pointed to Mr. Bad Boy. He did. Tall can done. I frowned at him. Can't you ever be serious? I am serious, he insisted. I was trying to be nice to Ethan, but he always had to act like a jerk. I decided to give it one more try. You know, everyone in my school has to do 1 hour of public service, I said. That bites, Ethan said. Yeah, just give blood like Dune. Then you can just go around being a jerk, but knowing that you kind of help someone out at some point. Listen to me, I snapped. I've got a good idea for you. I'm going to give a painting lesson at my great aunt's retirement home. Maybe you could come too and do a funny act with Mr. Bad Boy. I bet they'd love it. Cool, Ethan replied. Yeah, thanks. Maybe I'll practice some new jokes with them. Good. Your jokes are funny, but you need some that aren't so nasty, I said. I heard a rustling sound from the bed. Over Ethan's shoulder, I saw the dummy raise its head again. It opened its mouth and let out a long burp. I can't muster one up, despite just finishing the tall can. I laughed. That's pretty good, Ethan, I said. Come on, for real, how do you do that? I'm telling the truth. Ethan said in a whisper, I didn't do that. He grabbed my arm. Please believe me, Brittany. Sometimes it's like he comes alive or something. I pulled my arm away. Yeah, right. And monkeys can fly to the moon. But then I saw that the kid was trembling. On the other side of the bedroom, Mr. Bad Boy laughed again. A high donkey bray. Ooh, that's a word that's never been in Goosebumps before. I almost fell for it, but then I remembered all the dumb tricks Ethan played on me the last time he visited. He was a total trickster. He just loved to make me look dumb. No way I believe you, I said, so stop it. Give me a break. I'm trying hard to be your friend, Ethan. No one wants to hear that. Don't be rude. I want to make you feel at home here. Big whoop, the dummy chimed in from the bed. I grabbed Ethan by the shoulders. Tell me the truth. How are you doing that? He lowered his head. His shoulders shook. I thought he might have tears in his eyes. I am telling the truth, he whispered. This time, you've got to believe me, Brittany. Before I could answer, I saw the dummy raise its head. The mouth worked up and down. I could hear the click of wooden lips. And then the dummy screamed, I'm alive! Don't you get it, Brittany? I'm alive. Ethan grabbed my arm and held tight. Help me, please, he cried. I don't know what to do. Switch to vodka cranberry, even though I still have another steel reserve, but I was saving it as incentive to possibly record again tomorrow. That would be exciting, huh? Also, starting to regret using the last of my Amazon money to purchase the whole list, a whole set of Goosebumps Horrorland books, because it's like really sunny already in San Diego again, and I'm going out to visit my buddy Kevin from the Comics Online podcast next week, who has a jacuzzi, and I'm like, damn, I should have said screw recording podcasts and just bought myself one of those sweet electric back hair trimmers. That way I'd be comfortable being shirtless outside. I like when I catch a good buzz and just keep going on with this. Chapter number 9. I laughed. I remembered Ethan pretending to break his leg during his last visit. I was totally panicked and called 911. After that, he made fun of me for days. You wasted the taxpayers' money, idiot. No way I was falling for this cheap joke. Nice try, I said. Good acting job, Ethan. But do you really think I'm a total sucker? He didn't answer. Instead, he stamped down as hard as he could on my foot. I let out a cry and hopped backwards till I hit the wall. You jerk! It's not funny, I screamed, and that stupid dummy doesn't scare me. I waited for Mr. Bad Boy to laugh again or say something rude. But he didn't move. He was just a dumb puppet. I turned away from my bratty cousin. I still had some things to carry down to my new bedroom. I gazed at my framed Skullboy poster. What the fuck is Skullboy? It showed them rocking on stage at Radio City Music Hall in New York, and it was autographed by every member of the band. Apparently it's a band. I don't want to Google if it's real or not, but I'm going to assume it is because R.L. Stein was always up with the rock culture of the kids. Buzzy is my favorite band member, and he looks awesome in this poster with his shirt off and both fists pumping in the air and all his tattoos showing. I read an interview that said R.L. Stein hated tattoos. That's all. He's like, people show me their Goosebumps tattoos all the time. And I'm like, ugh, why would you do that to your body? What a jerk. I wonder if he thought that about me when I was drunkenly hugging him. I grabbed the edges of the frame and carefully started to lift it to the wall. Brittany, Ethan said, I think you'd better leave that poster up here in my room. Excuse me? I said, you're kidding me, right? Skullboy is Mr. Bad Boy's favorite band. Ethan said. Sorry. He loses, I said. It's my favorite band, too. And I'm hanging this in my room. And Dune wonders if it'll be torn up at night, and she'll blame it on Ethan, but it turns out it was Mr. Bad Boy all along. Ethan tried to pull my hand off the poster frame. Please, Brittany, he said in a tiny voice. What's your problem? I snapped. I want to keep Mr. Bad Boy happy, Ethan replied. If I do something he doesn't like, he might hurt me. Ethan had this terrified look on his face. He really was a good actor. Tough cheese, I said. Tell you what, sit Mr. Bad Boy down at the laptop. Let him go online and order his own poster. That time, I made Ethan laugh, too. Come on, you two, Mom called from downstairs. Dinner is on the table. 1 minute! I shouted. I lifted the poster off the wall and carried it down to my new room. I didn't have much wall space, but the poster fitted on the wall above my desk. Fitted? Shouldn't it be fit there? The poster done fitted. You might be a redneck if you done fitted your posters. I carried, carefully nailed in a picture hook. Okay, let me drink. I carefully nailed in a picture hook and hung it next to my favorite picture, an oil painting I did of Phoebe, our old dog who died last year. Wait, dogs can die?
Franken, drop everything. There's an emergency.
I like that he looked at me like I was dead serious.
You're all right, Papa. You can keep eating that T word I gave you.
The painting made me sad, but it was definitely my best painting. A nice way to remember her. I made sure the Skullboy poster hung straight. Then I hurried down to dinner. Mom had dropped a plastic jug of apple juice. She was on her knees on the kitchen floor, mopping up the spill. I can't believe I dropped that, she muttered. I grabbed some paper towels and helped her dry the floor. She handed me the half-empty juice jug. You'd better carry it to the table, she said, because I got dingus hands. I'd drop my head if it wasn't glued on. Man, that mom's got the shakes, or she spun out of her gourd. I don't believe it, I said. We're eating in the dining room? We never eat in the dining room unless company is coming. I thought we'd make it a special celebration because of Ethan, Mom said. Dad was already at the table, spreading his napkin over his lap. Dad looks like he comes from another family. He's very tall and skinny as a scarecrow, and he has short white blonde hair and furry white blonde eyebrows that move up and down over his blue eyes like caterpillars. Mom calls him her blonde freak. What a bitch. Dad thinks that's hilarious. In front of him sat Mom's famous roast chicken on a blue platter waiting to be carved, and next to it a big bowl of mashed potatoes and bowls of applesauce and string beans, a feast. How are you and your cousin getting along? Dad asked. Peachy, I said. Before I could say more, Ethan stepped into the room with Mr. Bad Boy slung over his shoulder. Mom pointed to the chair at the end of the table. Why don't you sit there, Ethan? Next to me, she said. She smiled at him. Let's all sit down and get to know one another. Another? Another. Ethan hesitated. He looked quickly around the table. But you didn't set a place for Mr. Bad Boy, he said. Ooh, that's like the updated Jewish people. There's no more setting a place for Elijah. It's all for Mr. Bad Boy from now on, baby. Mom and Dad exchanged glances. Dad shrugged. We can set a place for him across from you, Mom told Ethan, next to Brittany. She pulled out a placemat and napkin and set them on the table. Then she hurried into the kitchen to get cutlery. Ethan placed the dummy in its chair, then walked around the table and sat down. Dad chuckled. Do we have to serve him dinner? Suddenly, Mr. Bad Boy's eyes popped wide open and he rasped, I'd rather eat roadkill. I burst out laughing. Let's faith it. Let's faith it? You gotta have faith. Let's face it. Ethan really cracks me up. Dad glared at me. Don't laugh at that, Brit. Your mom worked hard on this dinner. Huh? Me? I cried. I didn't say that. He did. I gave the dummy a shove. Then I took a long sip of milk. Shouldn't she pluck the chicken before she cooks it? Mr. Bad Boy cried. Is that a joke? That one's terrible. I started to laugh and choked. Milk came spurting out of my nose, as if I was reverse snorting liquid cocaine. That made Ethan and me both laugh harder. I couldn't stop choking and laughing. Enough, Brit, Dad shouted. It's not funny. Mom entered the room and sat down. What's not funny? She asked. Brittany decided to act like a clown tonight. Whoop, whoop, Dad said, frowning. Why are you picking on me? I cried. It's not my fault, Ethan. Help yourself to some mashed potatoes, Mom said, pushing the bowl to me. She turned to Ethan. Are you excited to have a big new room of your own? Before Ethan could answer, Mr. Bad Boy chimed in. I'm so excited, I just peed my pants. I couldn't help it. I burst out laughing, because pee-pee is funny as fuck. And a lot of people like to be pee-pee to get their jollies off, but not Dune. So you keep your pee-pee to yourself, dinguses. That's my rule. Like, hey, if you're in San Diego, let's go out somewhere. You can buy me a drink because I'm broke, but don't pee-pee on me. I won't appreciate it at all. The mashed potato spoon flew from my hand. A big gob of potatoes sailed across the table and smacked the front of Dad's shirt. I watched the potatoes slide into Dad's shirt pocket, and that made me laugh so hard I couldn't catch my breath. Brittany, maybe you'd better leave the table and calm down, Mom said. Dad glared at me angrily. You're really axing for trouble, he said. Me? Why me? I managed to choke out. It's not my fault. Just settle down and eat your dinner, Mom said. It all looks delicious, Dad said. Once again, Mr. Bad Boy's mouth worked up and down, and he rasped. I throw up better food than this. Oh no, Mr. Bad Boy has an eating disorder. I hope the rest of the book is spent addressing that. Chapter number 10. At school the next morning, I found Molly at the table in the back of the art room, working on her new project. Molly is even more intense about painting than I am. She has some cool ideas. She dreams up scenes on imaginary planets and paints them. Then she downloads photos of movie and music stars off the internet, and she prints them out and adds them to her pictures. This is written in what, 2008? Hey, look, it's Burt McCracken from The Used. He's in a painting now. He's the one on the alien landscape. It's pretty tight, huh? They're hard to describe, but Mr. Vella, our art teacher, was really excited about them. He said Molly should do at least a dozen, and maybe he could get her a show in a gallery somewhere. I keep trying to get her to paint one with Buzzy from Skullboy, but she says she hates Buzzy's looks. She says she hates everything about him. Wow. So far, it hasn't ruined our friendship. I'm sure one of these days I can convince her she's totally wrong. I pulled out the chair across from her and sat down. Hey, Molly, I said. I like the purple and green sky. Way cool. She looked up from her painting. Britt, how come you were so late this morning? Ethan, of course, I said. I picked up a clean paintbrush and pretended to stab myself with the handle. Ah! It sounds like Eric the Midget from Howard Stern, apparently. He's a cutie pie, Molly said sarcastically, adding brushstrokes to a clump of purple trees. Mom made me pancakes for breakfast, I said. You know, Ethan's first day of school. Everything has to be special for Ethan, whose parents fucking abandoned him. And you know what that creep did? I slammed the paintbrush down on the table. He made me laugh, and I squirted maple syrup in my hair and on my t-shirt. That's your fault. I had to go shampoo my hair and change. Now I'm in major trouble with Mrs. Haggerty for being late. I could kill that brat. Also, same spelling. So she could also kill that brat, but since there were no bratwursts brought up in the rest of the paragraph, I assume she means the brat. Just saying, you know, it's open to interpretation. So, things are going well, Molly joked. Not funny, I muttered. How come he's going to school here? Molly asked, concentrating on her trees. Because no one knows how long he'll be living with us. Dad dropped him off at the primary school this morning. I have to wait around till 3:30 to pick him up. Molly sniggered. Did he bring that ugly dummy to school with him? No, I said. He told us Mr. Bad Boy likes to sleep late. Oh man, I am Mr. Bad Boy. He's totally mental, Molly said. Does he believe it's alive or something? The little clown is trying to make me believe it's alive, I said. What a joke. Molly narrowed her eyes at me. So, You don't believe it? Huh? Believe Mr. Bad Boy is alive? I said. Of course not.
Drinking break.
That night, I had dinner at Molly's house. Her dad was off on another long trip. Margie, the housekeeper, who always stays with Molly when her dad is away, ordered us a pepperoni pizza and a couple of salads. And we had ice cream for dessert. Ooh, it should be bad, but we had salads, so it's okay. Was I happy? Well, yes. Pepperoni is my favorite. But mainly, I didn't have to sit across the table from Ethan. After dinner, Molly and I were in front of her laptop, checking out the latest gossip on FacePlace, our school's message board. We're getting a social networking on Goosebumps now? This is gonna be interessante. Molly's bedroom is almost as small as my new room. She's covered one whole wall from floor to ceiling with her paintings, and it looks really awesome. Guess who wants to bring his dummy to school tomorrow? I asked. Molly shook her head. Doesn't he care that the kids will think he's a geek? I shrugged. I don't get it. Guess he just wants attention. Yeah, he's so fucking neglected he wants attention. Yes, I'm sure it's an evil dummy that's also alive. But also, he's been completely abandoned for an indeterminate amount of time. Fucking ease up on him and stop punching him in the face, you jerk. Jesus, not everyone has as good of a life as you. My dad said he's seen Ethan's dummy before, Molly said. He just can't remember where. Let's not talk about it, I muttered. I glanced at the clock. Almost 8:30. I'd better go home and write that essay, I said. I'm already on Mrs. Haggerty's bad list. Whoa, check this out, Molly said, eyes bulging at the laptop screen. Cindy Siegel's photos from her party last week. Oh, wow. I can't believe she put these online. If her parents ever saw them, dot, dot, dot. I ended up spending another hour at Molly's. Then I hurried home to write the essay. It was due tomorrow, and I knew I couldn't afford to mess up. Mom and Dad were in the den, watching a movie on television. The house smelled of popped corn. They have popped corn. Almost every night. They say it's low calorie, but they eat huge bowls of it. Whoa! Shut up. You had ice cream after pizza. Get out of here. I started up the stairs to the attic, then remembered it wasn't my room anymore. So I turned around and made my way down the hall and stepped into the little sewing room. I flashed on the ceiling light and gasped. Oh no! My poster. My Skullboy poster that Dune said was gonna be destroyed. The glass frame was cracked and shattered. I saw jagged shards of glass on the floor. I stood frozen in the doorway, unable to make another step into the room. My eyes stared at the shattered glass, and then I saw the long rip down the middle of the poster. It had been torn in half. And Buzzy's face, it was gone. Torn off the poster. Not Buzzy! Oh no! God damn it. Now I need to literally look up. Not literally. I mean literally, yes, but it was a weird... Let's look up Skullboy and see if that's actually a band. No! R.L. Stine invented it. Look at him. You know? Adapting to the kids and what they're into. I believe that Buzzy from Skullboy was a real dude with tattoos that made him look cool. Because tattoos are cool. That's why people like me. Just kidding, no one likes me. My heart pounded in my chest. I suddenly felt cold all over. As if the room had turned to ice. I blinked several times, trying to force the sight away. And then my eyes stopped on the painting of Phoebe. I let out another gasp when I saw the red mustache smeared on the dog's snout and splashes of red paint covering the dog's eyes. Ow! I squeezed my fist so tight my fingernails were digging into my palms. If only there was a solution for this pain. I can't come up with it, but I keep digging my fingernails into my palm. Just let go, Brittany, let go! I took a deep breath. Then another. But I couldn't calm down. "This is the last straw, Ethan," I muttered through gritted teeth. "This isn't funny. This is mean and vicious." I spun around and started towards the attic stairs. What did I plan to do? I don't know. I couldn't think straight. The blotchy red mustache stayed in front of my eyes. I was actually seeing red. I wanted to tear Ethan in half, just the way he tore my poster. I stomped up the stairs. My hands were still balled into tight fists. "Too far," I muttered. "This time, you went too far." I burst into the room, dark except for the pale, low light from a tiny nightlight down on the floor. I nearly tripped over the pile of dirty clothes Ethan had dropped in the middle of the carpet. Kicking a pair of jeans out of the way, I stormed up to Ethan's bed. "Ethan?" It took a while for my eyes to focus in the dim gray light, and then I saw the dummy stretched out on the bed, his head resting on the pillow. "Ethan?" Not there. Ethan was not in bed. "Ethan ain't sleeping," you know? "Huh?" I heard the shower going downstairs in the bathroom. Ethan must be in the shower, I realized. I stood frozen for a moment, clenching and unclenching my fists. And then I jumped back as the dummy moved. The head jerked. Mr. Bad Boy sat up quickly. The blue eyes blinked open with a wooden click. The ugly dummy turned its stare on me and uttered in a hoarse whisper, "I don't like you, Brittany." Chapter number 11. My breath caught in my throat. I staggered back till I hit the wall. The dummy stared at me with that ugly grin. Then he slowly lowered himself back onto his pillow. "This can't be happening," I told myself. "But it is. Something terrifying is going on here. Ethan is downstairs." The dummy sat up on its own and spoke, and it hates me. My legs trembled as I forced myself away from the wall. I kept my gaze on Mr. Bad Boy. Yeah, ladies are always gazing at Mr. Bad Boy. His eyes stayed wide open, staring at the ceiling, but he didn't move. Again, I lurched towards the door, stumbled over the jeans on the floor, staggered to the attic stairs, breathing hard. "Need I say more? I don't like you, Brittany." The dummy's hoarse rasp repeated in my ears. "You're not alive," I cried, taking the stairs two at a time. "You can't be alive." I couldn't keep this to myself. I was too frightened. I had to tell Mom and Dad. I burst into the den. The room was dark except for the darting glare from the screen. They always turned out the lights when they watched a movie so they could do hand stuff without their daughter walking in yelling about dummies coming to life. They were on the sofa, sitting close together. A blanket sat between them, bulging, bowls of popcorn on their laps. Mom jumped as I came lurching in. She made a grab for the popcorn bowl, but it toppled to the floor. Popcorn done spilled everywhere. "Brittany, you startled me," she cried. "Look what you made me do." Dad paused the movie. He narrowed his eyes at me. "What on earth is your problem?" I stammered, as if I just died in someone's arms, you know, but I didn't. "Something," I gasped for breath. Dad pulled me to the sofa. I dropped down next to Mom. "You're trembling," Mom said. "Are you ill? Do you have a fever?" "It's the dummy," I finally choked out. "Ethan's dummy." They both stared at me. "It's crazy," I said. "I know it, but I'm telling you the truth. It's alive. It's really alive." Mom wrapped her arm around my shoulders. "Take a deep breath, Britt," she said softly. "You're not making any sense." "Start at the beginning," Dad said. "We don't understand what the fuck you're saying. What about Ethan's dummy?" I took a deep breath and let it out. "My painting of Phoebe, it's ruined, and my Skullboy poster was ripped in half, and I knew Ethan did it, so I ran up to his room. Your Skullboy poster? Mom interrupted. Are you sure the frame didn't just fall off the wall? Oh, I'm sure, I said. I ran up to Ethan's room, and he wasn't there. He was in the shower, but the dummy. Oh, the dummy, motherfuckers. The dummy. It sat up. I saw my mom and dad exchange a glance. Mom pressed her hand on my forehead. I don't have a fever, I screamed, and I shoved her hand away, just like my dad had not done moments before. Listen to me. The dummy sat up on its own, and it talked. It said, I don't like you, Brittany. I'm not making this shit up. That's what it said to me. You fell asleep, Dad said, rubbing his chin. You had a nightmare. Remember, you used to sleepwalk. Dad, that was when I was 3, I cried. I wasn't asleep. I just got home from Molly's. I was wide awake. Yeah, everyone's always wide awake from hanging out with Molly. Drugs. I jumped to my feet, my whole body trembling. Are you going to believe me or not? Mom patted the sofa cushion. Sit down, Britt. I shook my head and crossed my arms in front of me. How can we believe you? Dad said. It's crazy. The dummy didn't talk on its own, Mom said. Ethan was playing a trick on you. I'll bet he was under the bed or hiding in the closet. Gay joke. I think you've been spending too much time at the Malloys, Dad said. Wild Man Malloy and his weirdo dolls. They put strange ideas in your head, Britt. He shrugged. Maybe you shouldn't see so much of Molly. Huh? I let out an angry cry. Now I'm going to lose my best friend because of that evil little creep, Ethan? Don't call him an evil little creep, Mom snapped. He's your cousin. He's family, and he needs your help. We need you to be a grown-up, Dad said. Making up crazy stories about dummies coming to life isn't going to help anyone. Dad, I'm not making this up, I said in a trembling voice. My hands were balled into tight fists again. I could feel myself totally losing it. I bit my lips till they hurt. No way I was going to start sobbing now. Oh, because you bit your lips? Does that stop you from crying, actually? I know people say you can look in a light to stop sneezing, but I just keep sneezing and keep crying. I know it sounds crazy, I said, but the dummy is alive, and it's evil. They both stared at me, as if I were crazy. I spun around and ran from the den. I hurtled into my room and slammed the door. I threw myself onto the bed, but I didn't cry. I was too angry to cry. Note to self, get angry. But then again, I wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Or, you know, any other emotion. I just don't like me. Or being me. It's getting a little dark here. Let's reel it in. My own parents refused to listen to me, refused to believe me. My own parents treated me as if I were a nut. I turned and gazed at my torn poster, my dog portrait with the ugly red splotches smeared over it. There they were, my two favorite things, ruined, destroyed. I didn't make it up. The proof was there on the wall. I tiptoed to the door and listened. Did my parents just shrug off my story and go back to their movie and handies? No. It was quiet down there. They were probably cleaning up the spilled popcorn and discussing what to do with their problem daughter. First thing they should do is get a dog. That'll clean up the popcorn.
Papa, do you like popcorn?
No. You like eating those T words I gave you and sleeping? I picked up my mobile. Is it mobile in this case? That's very UK. And we're American as fuck. Fucking mobile, baby! But I realized it was too late to call. I'll never get to sleep, I thought. How can I sleep knowing that there's something evil in my house? I changed into my nightshirt, climbed into bed, and pulled the blankets over my head. But I could still see the torn poster, the red paint on my painting, the dummy, the evil dummy, raising its head and spouting those ugly words. I don't like you, Brittany. Somehow, I fell into a deep, dreamless sleep. The next morning, I pulled on jeans and... What the fuck? And a jumper? Seriously, R.L. Stine? Where the fuck is he from? I thought he was from, like, the Midwest in America. A jumper? I don't like this at all. Yeah, got a slight nightmares. What was I just complaining about, fucking UK shit? It's pissing me off. Be American. Put on a sweatshirt. A dank-ass hoodie. Put on a hoodie and grabbed a gun and got myself ready for school. Ooh, I really wish I read the school line before saying gun after recent events. Ugh. Need to do a Johnny Carson collar pull. Ugh. I felt weary, as if I hadn't slept at all. Every time I glanced at the poster and painting, my stomach tightened into a cold dread. I looked out my window. It was a gray morning. Dark clouds hung low in the sky. The darkness matched my mood. Ooh, she's gonna get into AFI soon. I left my room and headed for the stairs. I could smell coffee from the kitchen and bacon frying. I heard footsteps behind me and glimpsed Ethan coming down the attic stairs, holding Mr. Bad Boy in front of him. I pretended I didn't see him and started down the steps. I was almost halfway down when I heard Ethan's shout close behind me. Brittany, watch out! Hey! I uttered a cry as I felt hard wooden hands shove my back. Stumbling, I grabbed for the banister and missed and started to fall head first. Down the stairs. Alright, another chapter, another cocktail. Chapter number 12. Oh! I tucked my head under my arms and bumped hard all the way down. Ow! 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 I landed on my back, still shielding my head, gasping for breath, too stunned to move. I lay there, waiting for the pain to fade. I stared up at Ethan and Mr. Bad Boy. Still on the stairs. Ethan's face had gone pale. His eyes were wide with shock. Brittany, are you all right? He cried in a tiny, frightened voice. He came running down to me. The dummy bounced in his arms. What's going on? Mom called from the kitchen. Brittany fell. I didn't fall, I thought. The dummy pushed me. I rubbed my elbow. It throbbed with pain. But the rest of me seemed okay. Ethan grabbed my hand and tried to pull me up. Mom came running, a metal spatula in one hand. Oh no, Brittany, did you fall down the stairs? Just a few of them, I said. No big deal, Mom. Why tell the truth? Would she believe me if I said the dummy pushed me? Yeah, for sure. She'd blame my wild imagination. Or she'd say I watch too many horror movies. Or I'm too much of a horror myself. I feel like I shouldn't have added that and I regret it and I wish that I didn't. But I also know that there's no way possible to edit audio in this world, so you always just have to move forward. I climbed to my feet, rubbing my sore elbow. I'm okay, really. My bacon's burning, Mom said. Come, have your breakfast. She turned and hurried back to the stove. I glared at Ethan. You and I have to talk, I said. He turned his head away. He looked very frightened. Then he looked back and said, Listen, Britt, I... But before he could say any more, the dummy lowered his head to my ear and whispered in his cold, hoarse voice, Don't ever snitch on me again. Ow, that really does hurt my voice. Chapter number 13. The rest of the day was a blur. Woohoo! I couldn't get that dummy's whispered words out of my mind. I was desperate to tell Molly all about it, but she was away all day on some sort of science field trip. I phoned her after school, but she couldn't talk. She was going to visit some cousins in the next town. She didn't call me back until late that night. I was pulling on my nightshirt and getting ready for bed when my mobile phone rang. Bidaboop-boop, bidaboop-boop-boop. Actually, 2008, mobile phone. It was like, yo, Superman there, ho! She started talking before I even answered. Molly, what's wrong? I asked. She sounded totally freaked. "Brittany, hurry," she said. "You've got to help me. We have to bury it." "Huh? Molly, what are you talking about?" I whispered. "I'm not allowed to talk on the phone so late at night." "The doll," Molly said breathlessly. "That awful..." Jesus, sorry. Still not editing. "Thing with the shrunken head. I can't leave it in the house. Please, come over. I need your help." "But it's after 11, I whispered. "If I get caught..." "Brittany, this is life or death," Molly said. "I'm not joking. I need you." "I'll get dressed," I said. "I'll sneak out the back door. Give me 2 minutes. 2 minutes later, I was running through the back garden and across the street to Molly's house. The grass was slippery and wet due to weather. I lowered my head against the strong gusts of wind. Molly's house was dark except for a light in the attic window, but she stood waiting for me at the back door. She grabbed my arm and pulled me into the kitchen. She had already pulled on a yellow raincoat and the hood lowered over her head like the Gordon's fisherman. "We have to hurry," she whispered. "Molly, I don't understand," I said. "Tell me, what's up with that doll?" It's my new podcast, What's Up With That Doll?, where I just review porcelain dolls. Please donate. But also to this, too. She brushed back the rain hood. I could see the fear in her eyes. "The mind stealer. My dad. He was wrong. We have to bury it in a graveyard." I narrowed my eyes at her. "You're not joking. Where's your dad?" "On an island somewhere," she said. "Near Australia?" "I think... I tried to calm him. I don't think his mobile is working." "Hey, shout out to people in Australia. I got flights. Let me crash in your couch. Show me around. Buy me drinks. I'm broke, but I really want to go to Australia very bad. I'm very enjoyable. This is pretty much who I am on this podcast. So I may be irritating and talk too much and drink too much, but still, this is me. Let me stay at your place." But also, that goes for anyone, actually, come to think of it. Anyone near a major airport, let me come hang out. I'd appreciate it. But why do we have to bury that doll? That's just crazy, isn't it? "A man called me," Molly said, "a few minutes ago from Mumba." I just realized that when I searched for Mumba before, it gave me Google results, dear God, from Mumbai. just letting you know, it just hit me right now. "He said my dad asked him for information about the Mind Stealer doll and... "What did he say?" I asked. "He said he did research for my dad. He talked to the people of Mumba. The doll's powers are deadly strong. It shouldn't be kept in the house. My dad didn't know. It has to be buried in a graveyard." I stared at her. "He was serious?" "Very serious," Molly said. "He said to get the doll out of the house tonight. He said maybe it's an old legend, but we shouldn't take chances. It's too dangerous." Man, I'm kind of disappointed. I thought all this took place in a theme park. Oh well. She grabbed my hand. "You've got to help me, Britt. I'm really scared. I knew that doll was trouble. My dad, he sometimes just doesn't take things seriously." "What about Margie?" I asked. "Your housekeeper. Can she help us?" "She has the flu," Molly replied. "I can't ask her to come out." Molly stared at the glass case in fear. "I'll carry the doll case," she shivered. "There's a shovel in the garage. You can carry that." And that's how Molly and I ended up in the little graveyard, 3 streets away from our houses. Nearly midnight, the neighborhood dark. No cars in the street, no moon in the cloud-covered sky, cold raindrops pattering down on us like Robert Pattinson, if he were pattering and wet. There we were, taking turns shoveling up the hard earth. Inside the glass case, the evil doll stared up at us with its empty eye sockets in its shriveled green hand. The wind howled. The old gravestones creaked and groaned. I've been to a lot of graveyards, and no stones have ever creaked or groaned. They're just rocks thrown in the ground that have, like, grandparents' names on them. Could we get the evil doll buried before it did something horrible to us? Could it get any scarier? Yes. The hole was at least a meter deep. Whoa, okay. Now I'm starting to get... Oh, you motherfuckers. This...
give me a second here.
Okay, this whole time I've been like, what kind of UK shit is this, right? And I got the box set with the 18 books. And it was more expensive, I think, than it should have been, right? So they said a meter deep. And it was spelled M-E-T-R-E, which is not how we spell it. And then I looked at the back. And the pricing says UK, £4.99 in pounds. Scholastic.co.uk. That makes so much more sense. All the references have been changed. Oh god, I'm not going crazy.
Alright, I'll have to deal with that for a little bit. I'll convert it.
The hole was at least a yard deep. Almost deep enough. I dug the shovel blade into the earth. And that's when the old gravestone across from me tilted forward. I saw crumbling earth at the bottom of the stone. And then I saw the pale hand reach out from behind it.
I can't believe it just kept bothering me, but it now makes total sense.
Too late. I saw it too late to escape its grip. It grabbed me around the ankle, wrapped its cold fingers over my skin, and I let out a shrill scream. Ethan, I gasped, what are you doing here? Made you scream, he said. He let go of my ankle. Then he jumped out from behind the tombstone and did a little dance. You know, a jig. You know, he was well jigging.
You know, well jiggins, the old town drunk at the pub that you go to. The village drunk.
Whatever, fucking UK.
And did a little dance, laughing like a hyena, which I will not try to impersonate.
Molly gave him a hard shove, and he fell back against the old granite slab. You brat, she snapped. You followed us here? He grinned. You're burying that stupid doll? You both are totally mental. Now I feel like that was added in. Now I'm just have my UK alert on high.
Oh well. You know, anyway, the rest of the book is totally the dog's bollocks.
The rain came down harder, drumming the ground. I pretended to strangle Ethan. I'd like to bury you, I said. I know what happens at midnight, Ethan said. You both turn into pumpkins. This isn't a joke, Molly said angrily. It's a UK book. If this was a joke, it would be men wearing dresses, because they find that funny over there. But over here, we call that progress, okay? England. Get away, Ethan, she shoved him again. Unless you want to help us. We have to bury this thing. It really does steal minds. Ethan giggled. You're both out of your minds already. A flash of lightning made the ugly mind stealer doll appear to move. I felt a chill roll down my back. I dug the shovel deep into the hole and scooped out another clump of earth. I think it's deep enough, I said. Ethan watched as Molly and I carefully lifted the glass case. The disgusting little head rolled to one side. The doll's wooden arms bounced against the glass. Into the hole, we lowered it slowly. The glass case felt slippery and wet from the rain, like as if Bon Jovi were living there. But we set it down in the hole. Then we both frantically shoveled and scooped earth over it. Buried it, it was out of sight. Where its evil powers could do no damage. And then the three of us ran home, possibly to our flats.
I really hope I don't keep this shit up going the entire time on this series, but I totally had no idea I ordered the goddamn UK versions. Fucking Christ. You dinguses with your monarchies still. What the fuck is going on with your old world ass shit?
Molly had a smile on her face now. At least she could feel safe again in her own house. But what about me? No way I could feel safe. Not with a living dummy turning my life into a horror show. Like the song by the band The Libertines from
Wait, Libertines from Ogden? I know they're not originally. Or the members aren't. God, I love the Libertines. Pete Doherty isn't a, like, sorry, Pete Doherty isn't allowed in America. So I've always thought about flying out to Mexico City from Tijuana to go see them. Because, God, I love that band.
Chapter 14. Mom, please don't make me take Ethan, I begged. Mom bit her bottom lip, the same way she did when she was eating popcorn with Dad. Brittany, you have no choice, she said. You promised him, remember? You have to take him. She straightened her hair in the front of the hall mirror and picked up her car keys. It was nearly 4 the next afternoon. She was ready to drive us to perform at Sunset House, my great aunt's retirement home. I never had any family in retirement's home. Retirement homes? I don't know why I pluralized the first part, but I think it's because my family dies young. That being said, let me keep drinking. Brittany, do you have all your art supplies packed up? Put them in the boot, she said. Oh, God, it is. Okay, I get it. Put them in the trunk. Yeah, America. She started to the door, but I grabbed her arm. Mom, you're not listening to me, I said. If we take Ethan, something terrible is going to happen. Stop it. Right now, she said. Go call your cousin. He's upstairs practicing his comedy act. My throat felt dry and tight. I know you're not you don't believe me, I said, but I'm not making this shit up. Mr. Bad Boy is alive, Mom. He's alive and he's evil. Mom slammed the car keys down in the hallway shelf. She glared at me angrily. Enough, she said. Enough. Enough, enough. You're acting like a total baby, Brittany. Hit me, baby. Like the song by Britney Spears. Oh, forget it. But, Mom, I can prove it, I said. She raised a hand. Enough, enough. Not another word, I mean it. Not another word about that dummy. My breath caught in my throat. I felt so hurt and angry. Mom always believed me before Ethan came to live with us. She always trusted me. She always talked about how grown up I was, and now, dot, dot, dot. She pointed to the stairs. Go get Ethan. Great Aunt Ruth is waiting. I let out a long sigh and started up the stairs. I knew if I brought Ethan and Mr. Bad Boy with me, something terrible would happen. But what could I do?
Drinking break.
A short while later, Mom pulled the car up to the long driveway to Sunset House.
I like that it's straight up called Sunset House. Like, you know, the sun is setting on their lives.
We passed by tall hedges and a rolling lawn with beds of red and yellow flowers. People sat in chairs around the bubbling fountain, talking and reading. The house was a tall brick building. The afternoon sunlight reflected off the many windows, making the whole house appear to glow. I pulled my art supplies from the boot and waved to Mom as she drove away. Damn it, I just read boot again. Man, this is going to bother me the whole run of Dune Reads Goosebumps Orland. Whatever. We'll deal with it. We'll make jokes. We'll get through life. That's what we do, you know? Shit gets tough and we make jokes, and then we don't address the issues, and then our lives are terrible. That's what we do. Or I do. Great Aunt Ruth was waiting for Ethan and me in the front hall. She is almost 85, but she looks a lot younger. She has short, straight black hair, and she wears a lot of makeup and bright red lipstick. Today, she wore faded jeans with embroidery on the pockets and a pale blue shirt that tied at the waist. After giving Ethan and me both bone-crushing hugs, she began chattering a mile a minute, asking about everyone in our family. Maybe you should just move her into the house where Ethan's staying. Oh, wait, Ethan has no parents, but you're not respectful of that. Anyway, we'll keep going. A short, plump, gray-haired woman wearing a gray trouser suit stepped up with a smile. Brittany, this is so nice of you, she said. Hi, Mrs. Berman, I said. She's the director of the house. This is my cousin Eddie. Dear God, I'm fucking this up. Maybe I should just quit at the end of this one because stumbling in words. This is my cousin, Ethan. He's going to perform with his dummy. How excellent, she said. Come this way. Your audience is waiting for you in the rec room. We followed her down the hall and into the room. Folding chairs had been set up in three rows. About 20 people turned when we came in. Most of them were white-haired. Two were in wheelchairs, and I saw a lot of canes and Zimmer frames. What the fuck is a Zimmer frame? Is that an English thing, or am I just out of the old people loop? I put down my paint case and started to set up my easel. Ethan took a seat in a corner and plopped Mr. Bad Boy on his lap. This is Ruth's niece, Brittany Crosby, Mrs. Berman announced. She's going to give you all a painting lesson. And then Brittany's cousin, Evan, is going to put on a puppet show. He's going to do those puppetry of the penis ones. I guess it's not cool with a 9-year-old's dong. Not because it's not cool to talk about 9-year-old's dongs. I just mean that they don't have a lot to work with to do puppetry of the penis properly. That was my point. It's Ethan, Mr. Bad Boy shouted. People began to murmur. A few people laughed. I opened my paint jars and turned to the audience. I know a lot of you like to draw and paint, I said. So I thought, louder please, a woman in the front row shouted. So I thought today I'd... She's deaf, another woman called out. She won't hear you no matter how loud you shout. A lot of people laughed. Oh, let's laugh at the old lady and her disability. Life is terrible. Great Aunt Ruth turned in her seat and shushed everyone. I took a deep breath and continued. Since we're in Sunset House, I thought, I'd show you how to paint a beautiful sunset with just two colors. Red and yellow, red and yellow. God, I need to stop saying that because Wiz Khalifa's terrible. Anyway, I picked up the brush and began to mix colors. Maybe she could paint my room, a man in the back row said to the woman next to him. Maybe she could paint my nails, the woman said. They were both shouting. They must have been nearly deaf. I could feel my legs start to shake. Mom had warned me it would be a tough audience. I turned and saw Great Aunt Ruth smiling at me. I decided to keep my eyes on her for the rest of the demonstration. What is she painting? I don't get this modern art. Look, she's dripping on the floor. No one should read Goosebumps with commentary. I should have worn earplugs. But I hummed to myself to drown them out, and I kept working my brush on the canvas. The sunset painting turned out really well. Maybe the best sunset I'd ever done. And then I stepped away from it. Everyone cheered and clapped. Even the woman who wanted me to paint her nails. Great Aunt Ruth blew me a kiss. I could tell how proud she was. I felt really happy. But then I remembered what was coming next. My stomach tightened in dread. The diarrhea was already bubbling. Here's Ethan, I announced to everyone, with his good friend, Mr. Bad Boy. As Ethan passed me, I whispered, "Don't mess this up." I'll try, he whispered back. Why did he look so frightened? I'm going to keep going. I don't care if I'm stumbly. I don't have to listen to this. I hate that I made some sort of vague promise that I would definitely read one more chapter. I made another cocktail for it. I'm trying to get through it for you people. You know, I thoroughly hope you appreciate it. Is it recording even? Sure is. Chapter number 15. Ethan pulled his folding chair to the front of the room. He sat down and bounced the dummy on his lap. Which one is Ethan? A woman whispered loudly. A few people laughed. Ethan cleared his throat and turned to the grinning dummy. You're going to be a good boy today, aren't you, Mr. Bad Boy? Ooh. Mr. Bad Boy shook his head no. I'm a bad boy. Franklin, the cat's okay. She can scratch all she wants. Know how I can tell when someone's old? He asked Ethan. How? By the smell. Mr. Bad Boy tossed back his head and cackled. Now that I'm 31, approaching 32, I worry that I'm going to have that old person smell already, which is, I don't think people get that until they're like 70. I don't know, but this is a concern to me as I'm going so gray. I feel like I'm rotting from the inside, which is sadly accurate. That's not funny, Ethan scolded him. Yeah, Mr. Bad Boy shot back. That joke stinks, and so do they! A few people gasped. The room grew very quiet. Mr. Bad Boy's jaws clicked up and down. Ethan, do you know the difference between an old person and roadkill? No, Ethan said. Neither do I! Mr. Bad Boy cried and laughed his high-pitched laugh again. That is not allowed, Mrs. Brennan. Mrs. Berman, Jesus, shouted from the back of the room. Ethan, your jokes are insulting people. Your face is insulting me, Mr. Bad Boy exclaimed. I've seen pimples that were prettier than you. I shut my eyes. I just wanted to disappear. This couldn't be happening. I'm a bad...
Jesus. Why am I still recording?
I'm a bad boy, Mr. Bad Boy shouted. He turned his head to a woman with curly white hair and bright red lips. Is that a new skirt? The dummy asked her. Or are you wearing your intestines on the outside? Oh, that one's terrible. Mrs. Berman stormed towards the front of the room, swinging her tight fists at her side. Her face was as red as my sunset painting. Ethan, I have to ask you to stop, she said. Ethan jumped up. I'm really sorry, he said. Sometimes Mr. Bad Boy acts up, but I know he'll be good now. Mrs. Berman glared at him. Your jokes are not acceptable. Ah, total social justice warrior there. I promise he'll behave, Ethan said. He shot me a nervous glance. Then he turned back to the audience. I need a volunteer. Could someone come up and talk to Mr. Bad Boy, ma'am? I promise he'll be good. Please, come up here. I realized I was holding my breath, as was never suggested for me to do on My Brother and Me on Nickelodeon. Dear God, I am fading. You guys, you want to just assume what happens in the chapter? I can't. I'll finish. What did Ethan plan to do? Or more important, what did Mr. Bad Boy plan to do? Ethan kept pleading with her. So finally, a gray-haired woman in a flowery brown and yellow house dress stood up and slowly walked up beside the grinning dummy. She shook Mr. Bad Boy's hand. Are you going to be a good boy? She asked, grinning at Ethan. Mr. Bad Boy's eyes blinked up and down. I like your dress, he said. In interesting colors. Or did you spit up your breakfast this morning? Oh! I like that I'm just adding the Andrew Dice Clay O to everything. I gasped. Now I knew for sure. I had no doubts at all. The dummy was alive and out of control. The woman laughed. You're naughty, she said. Someone should spank you. I'd like to spank you too, Mr. Bad Boy replied. But with that face, I can't tell which end to spank. Oh! I turned and saw Mrs. Berman shaking her head and frowning. Which color do you like in Brittany's painting? Mr. Bad Boy asked the woman. The red or the yellow? She studied my painting for a moment. The red, I guess. And then it all happened so quickly. It was a total blur. I saw the jar of red paint swing up into the air. Was it in Mr. Bad Boy's hand, or did Ethan hold the jar? I couldn't see, but I saw the jar swing high, and I saw the red paint come splashing out. It made a loud spliggity-iggity-splat as it burst over the woman's face, as if her face were wearing fur, and Mr. Bad Boy was in PETA, but I assume there's no one in PETA named Mr. Bad Boy. Because me and this puppet are the only ones named Mr. Bad Boy, and I'm not in PETA. Because I like chicken wings. It ran down her cheeks, down her skirt, and puddled on her shoes. Her mouth dropped open in shock. She staggered back, wiping paint from her eyes, but Mr. Bad Boy wasn't finished. Now, the yellow paint jar was in the air, and a tidal wave of thick yellow paint splashed over the woman's hair. "I'm a bad boy," Mr. Bad Boy shouted. What the fuck am I reading, listeners? Oh, God. Mrs. Berman leaped forward and tried to pull the dummy from Ethan's arms, and I rushed to the front of the room, my brain spinning. I knew I had to do something to help, but I tripped over my easel. The whole thing collapsed under me, and I fell face down on my painting. Oh! I groaned and tried to pull myself to my feet. Smears of red and yellow paint stuck to the front of my jumper. Fucking jumper. I heard people stampeding from the room. Some were crying. Others were shouting angrily. A disaster, I thought. A total disaster. Raising my eyes, I glared at the ugly dummy. And as I stared, he tossed back his head and roared with laughter. Hey! And so ends part one of Revenge of the Living Dummy by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. Horrorland! My buddy is supposed to send me new intro music, which I'm hoping was playing right now, or at least was in the intro. Fred. You know Fred. I've mentioned Fred. You know, I figured new season, new book series, new music, new Dune, you know, super sad still. But, you know, yeah, a whole new thing, but I don't know if he's going to. So it may be the old music, but I'm going to hold off for one day on posting this one. But hopefully I'll get a chance to record more tomorrow. If not, very soon. I'm planning on going out to go visit Kevin, like I said, in, not DC, that's where he works, but in Virginia somewhere, which I've never been to. So I won't have a chance next weekend, but I don't know. I'm excited. I feel good about having all these books, and I live in such a small space where I have zero privacy or anything, but the fact that I have the books here is like quite a reminder, as I have to see them every single day. So hopefully I'll be like, hey, I'm gung-ho about this, but who knows? Anyway, you know where to hit me up. I'll put it on the next episode or something. Anyway, until then, stay spooky, bitches.